storms. We are fascinated with storms. A good storm we love if we're inside. Storms are an image given to us in the Bible of our life experience. Job in the Old Testament is drowning in life's waters. You ever feel like you're drowning in life's waters? God speaks perspective into Job's life. Who shut up the heavens, the seas, Job, behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? And when I said to the waters, this far you may come and no more, here is where your proud waves halt. Words of God to Job. Storms are relentless in Psalm 93. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. The waters lift up higher and higher and still higher. We gasp for air while drowning in swallowed water. It was Robert Frost who touches on our boat experiences of larger and larger waves, like Frank said this morning, crashing on the shores of our boat into our lives. This is what Robert Frost said. The shattered water made a misty din. Great waves looked over others coming in and thought of doing something to the shore that water never did to land before. Psalm 93, though, does not leave us sinking in the midst of our storms. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. So when Jesus stands up in the boat and he looks out at the water and he says, peace be still, understand, he's doing something that shows us he is the Lord Almighty. Tornadoes, gales, hailstorms, floods, fires, blizzards, Mother Nature. These paralyze us in our humanity and our vulnerability and our powerlessness. A call to Tom and Audra in our church. Trev had cancer. Or after going through hell and back treatments, the cancer returned. I'll never forget Tom and Audra. Audra, the despair on your face when you had to return back to Seattle when we were called out to your home. I want you to know that that was beautiful, despairing love on a mother's face. That just the tensions of love, of knowing what you had to go through. Or how about that call saying, hey, there's been an accident. The phone call is crucial and pivotal in a life that becomes a defining moment that as we write out our history, that experience interprets the past and unfolds the future. So when my son had his 16-year-old accident and was in Sacred Heart for a month, we define things, past and future, around that event. Life crises are accurately described as a tornado or a hurricane or a storm. And I want you to know, storms stop us in our humanity, and they open up perspective. Where do we go for help? Who gets the cry of help from our desperate circumstances and storms? Well, I want you to know, Mark gives us this storm story. The Sea of Galilee is not a tame sea because it's surrounded by these high mountains that push down cool air, and there's warm air coming up from the water, and things can go to hell in a handbasket very quickly. Storms invade without warning. We know this from our Bibles, and we know this when we just read secular history. This is not a fabricated account. You see, we look at this account that Mark records, who probably got his information from Peter. He wasn't here. Peter was here, and Peter and Mark had this close relationship. So this is probably Peter relaying what happened. It was evening. There were other boats on the water. There was a furious storm. Water gushed into the boat from the storm. Jesus was sleeping in the stern. His head rested on a cushion. The disciples woke him. Those are not details in fictitious stories in ancient literature. They point to the story happened at a particular time in history. We read this with an ancient ear, historical ears, and we realize that historical authenticity is all over the story here. Now, we have a skewed view of God. We do. We always are fighting this skewed view. We're always in need of working through these misdirected God thoughts. So storms of life crash on our shore, and more often than not, we wonder this: what did I do wrong? Why is God so displeased with me, so silent and unresponsive? What do I need to correct in my life so He will say into my situation, "Peace be still," and bam, it happens like that. Because that's what happened on the sea. It's stilled like that. It wasn't something that He said it and then there was a time. The Greek doesn't do that for us. It says that there was 5-10 minutes later, it calmed down. He said it and it happened. It's kind of like my son had, he has this dog, Whiskey. And it's a Ridgeback, beautiful dog. And he had his friend, Dave, who's from England. This is when he lived in Princeton. And he was watching his dog because he and Lauren were gone. And Dave went and started getting Whiskey's food. And Whiskey saw this, so Whiskey went in her cage and turned around and sat there and looked at him getting the food. And then Dave gets the food and he goes, "Whiskey, eat." Didn't move. Not a bit. Didn't move. "Come on, Whiskey, come on." He couldn't get Whiskey to get out of the cage. So he calls Jesse, my son. And he says to Jesse, "Your dog won't get out of the cage to go get the food that I just put out there." And he goes, "Oh," Jesse says, "okay, put me on speakerphone." And so he put my son on speakerphone and he goes, "Okay, Whiskey." Okay was the word. Bam, he was up and out. Happened quick, just like that. Jesus said, "Okay, see, stop." Bam, just like that. You see, I don't think that there has ever been a Christ follower who doesn't internally struggle with such thoughts and demonically shaming theology as, "What did I do wrong? Why is God so displeased with me? So silent and unresponsive?" I mean, we all struggle with that at many times in our journey. And I know some storms are brought on by our depravity, our human depravity. I mean, I cheated on my 9th grade German final. Little cheat sheets. A storm blew into my life because I got caught cheating. And I had them under my arm, and when the teacher said, "Lift up your arm," I lifted them up, and they stuck there for a second because I was sweating, but then they fluttered down and I was caught. Do you know that Joe DiMaggio holds the Major League Baseball record for the most consecutive hits in games? 56 consecutive games he got a hit in. He got a hit in every game from May 15th to July 17th, 1941. I've got him beat. I've got him beat. I am 62. And I have lived, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, I've lived with myself for 62 years. And I have a 62-year streak of sinning. Nothing compared to 56 games of screwing things up, of needing to ask for forgiveness because I'm still struggling with arrogance and pride and self-sufficiency and lack of empathy for others and criticalness. You know, I'm sure that Larry is the oldest person in this room. Larry, how old are you?
89.
You're 89. Is there anyone over 89 here? Oh, my goodness, Dee. Okay, great. So, Dee, you're 80. You're, how old are you?
94. 93.
93. So you're moving to 94 quicker than... Okay, so what is in your life, what is one of the great experiences that you've had? Können Sie Deutsch sprechen?
Ja, natürlich.
Ja, ja.
just meeting and marrying my husband.
And how long were you married?
72 years.
72 years. Wow, that's wonderful. Larry, you were 89. You're 89. When were you baptized? He told me this on Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, 1936.
1936. I want you to know here are an 89-year-old and a 94-year-old, and they've lived with themselves at 93. Sorry, she's got to put it in my head. And they have lived with themselves all those years, and they have the streak of 93 and 89 years of sinning. And so we know we're going to struggle. We know we're going to doubt. But when we come to this story of Mark gives us of the storm, it's not what we think. It really challenges, what did I do wrong? The story opens with Jesus saying to the disciples, let's get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. That's how it begins. So they took Jesus just as he was, which I love that expression, and that's a sermon in and of itself, in the boat. And they pulled up anchor and they began to row and sail. Why were they on the water in the boat with Jesus? I want you to hear this, because Jesus told them, let's go. They were obeying Jesus in sailing to the other side of the lake. Jesus, in giving them that command and them obeying it, led them into the storm. He was the one that said, hey, we need to travel to the other side in this direction. So Jesus took his followers into the center of the storm. So let's pause there for a moment. I don't know what the other side of the lake looks like for us at Our Redeemer Presbyterian Church. I've been here 10 and a half years, and there was a group when I first got here, and they invited me into the boat. And I would venture to say we knew that we all better have life preservers on when we were in that boat. The waves were daunting, and we were in the boat together. It's called the church. And others joined us in that boat, and we invited them in, but we handed life preservers to them as they sat down. What I do know is that Jesus, right now, by the Holy Spirit, very clearly, has led our leadership and the circumstances to this specific time in the history of our church's story. And he is saying to us, as a church, take me in the boat, just as I am, and we're going to go to the other side of the lake. That's what he's saying to us. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. And we are doing that. I mean, Mark and Debbie aren't even starting until Mark starts on July 1st. But they led worship this morning. They're jumping into the boat with us. And we invited them in. And it's a gift from Christ. And we've been pulled into, we're pulling them into the boat. But we are going to the other side of the lake. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be storms. There are going to be storms. They're coming. We can't see them. We are obeying Jesus, and there's going to be storms. Yes, there are storms because we are bent on depravity, but we face storms because we obey Jesus. So let's go to the other side of the lake. That is what Jesus said to his disciples. That is what Jesus is saying to us. Because obedience to the words of Jesus means walking into the storms of life. Don't have the illusion that obedience means smooth sailing. We tend to think like that. That's why we ask those crazy questions. What did I do wrong? Our story tells us just the opposite. Obedience means waves and wind and waters of the deep are overwhelmingly blinding us from seeing Jesus. Jesus took a nap. That's great. Good for him. In his humanity, Jesus was exhausted. He's going to sleep, and I love to sleep in turbulence in the sky. It's my favorite thing to have turbulence when you're flying. It's that vibration. It's kind of like it always. I've always wanted to sleep on top of a dryer. Just that. And honestly, you know, when we go on vacation and we're going to fly, I want you to know, honestly, my vacation doesn't start until I'm walking down to get onto the plane. And when I step through that door, I'm on vacation. And I know I'm going to sleep. That vibration is going to lull me to sleep. The ups and downs of turbulence makes me feel like someone's holding me as an infant, bobbing me up and down to try to get me to sleep. Well, the disciples experience turbulence in our story. They've obeyed Jesus. They're now in the midst of a storm, and Jesus is sleeping. Let that dance in your imagination. Jesus is sleeping in the midst of the storm of life and death crisis. Once again, do you ever feel like that? These disciples are thinking, pardon me here, what the hell, Jesus? Are you kidding me? You got your head on a pillow and you're sleeping? They have been formed in the Psalms because they know how to pray. Because the Psalms are filled with expressions like that to God. God-given petitions. Someone often sees in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They too observed the Lord's power in action. His impressive works on the deep seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their seas were tossed to the heavens. They plunged again to the depths, and the sailors cringed in terror, and they reeled and staggered like drunks. They're at their wits' end, and they said, "Help, Lord!" They cried out in their troubles, and then God saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. That's the Mark 4 story here. What a blessing was that stillness, the psalm says, as he brought them safely into harbor or to the other side of the lake. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. I can't imagine the disciples being calm when they approach Jesus to wake him up, to get help. I mean, it was a crisis. I can imagine them going over and kicking him. Jesus, get up! Come on! Right now, the water's flowing in our boats. The winds are debilitating. The storm is suffocating. Help, don't you care one iota that we're all on the verge of death, and that includes you, buddy. Do you ever feel like that? Well, Jesus says to us in our storms, why are you so afraid? Don't be afraid, I got your back. It just takes a word. And remember, Jesus told them, we're going to go across the lake, so let's go. Let's climb into the boat, sail to the other side of Lake Chelan, get on the Lady of the Lake. They obeyed. Jesus needs space. He had been with people all day. He was tired of the conversations and eternally debriefing what so many had dumped into his heart. He was soaked in suffering of others. He was exhausted and sleeping on a cushion in the stern. And a storm came up, and what Jesus had said, let's get into the boat and go to the other side. And then he snoozes. And the storm barricades the disciples between Jesus sleeping in the stern and what Jesus said when they were getting into the boat, that we're going to go to the other side of the lake. Our storms deafen us, deafen us, I'm going to say it that way, it could not be a word, but they deafen us to hearing and responding and remembering what Jesus said. Because the storm in the boat kept the disciples from remembering that Jesus told us we're going to go to the other side. Do we not believe who Jesus is? So here we are. That's baseline discipleship, friends. Baseline of following Jesus. Do our circumstances muffle the voice of Jesus who's called us to follow him? Do our circumstances push us into doubt and confusion? I think so. But in the midst of that, do the words of Jesus drive us to the other side of the sea no matter the storms in front of us? Because Jesus said we're going that way. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is with us in our storms. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray.